Hello, this is Radio Prague with me, Ian Willoughby. Today we visit the charming city of Olomouc, which was once the capital of Moravia and is today thriving. And later, the Prague Museum, dedicated to the highly inventive filmmaker Karel Zeman, has a special Christmas programme. But first, historically, Olomouc used to be the capital of Moravia, the eastern part of what's now the Czech Republic. It all changed at the end of the 30 Years' War, when the city was ransacked by invading Swedish armies. All the important institutions were moved south to Brno, and Olomouc never regained its previous privileged status. Luckily for the city, being sidelined by ruling regimes helped it to keep its charming, rustic character. And now, in the 21st century, Olomouc is drawing young talent and energy. Vít Bohánka reports from there.
The town hall in Olomouc boasts astronomical clock, the second oldest after Prague. But even though it dates back to the 15th century, you wouldn't think so from the look of it. For it was damaged at the end of the Second World War and completely rebuilt in the style of socialist realism in the early 1950s by a famous Czech artist, Karel Svolinský. So you are greeted by optimistic characters of a worker, a sportsman and sportswoman, scientist and a farmer on a tractor, all in typical 1950s outfits. It seems so out of place on the otherwise well-preserved historical building of the town hall that from time to time there are repeated calls for a complete change of its outward appearance. But Vladimír Gračka, Olomouc's history expert and author of several books on the subject, wouldn't hear of it.
It is a post-war reconstruction. The clock was not actually damaged as badly as is widely believed. It was not hit directly. Only the roof and the arch above the clock sustained real damage. The original parts can still be seen here in the town hall and in the museum. And the way it looks, well, it's an illustration of the times when it was reconstructed, isn't it? You can still see the name of Josef Stalin here in the lower part where the important anniversaries are listed. Yes, there are the figures of workers, farmers, a scientist, but these are people and professions that have always been with us.
Rok 55 bylo desáté výročí osvobození, bylo tady asi 20 000 lidí na to otevření.
The year 1955, when the city unveiled the reconstructed clock, was the 10th anniversary of the liberation of Czechoslovakia. Some 20,000 people came for the ceremony, and I was among them as a 13-year-old boy. For me, the astronomical clock is part of
Olomouc.
The astronomical clock is one of the first things that you will probably notice when you come to the main square in the center of Olomouc. Not far from it, there are other places, literally hidden under the surface of everyday life. Mr. Gračka is leading me to dark underground space under the parish church of St. Michael. It was dug out back in the Middle Ages by Dominican monks who came to build one of their most important centers in what is now the Czech Republic. A few meters below the surface, there is a small underground basin.
Když vznikal tento klášter, uvádí se, že to byl dominikánský mnich.
When this monastery was founded, a Polish monk called Hyacinth allegedly discovered this underground stream. It's quite a curiosity because we're now some 25 meters above the level of Mlynský Potok, the closest branch of the Morava River that flows in a nearby park. The water obviously rises through the ground, which was very convenient for the monks building a monastery. These days, of course, we do not use it as drinkable water, but in the old times they used to drink it. We can see the remnants of the well above us through which the monks used to sink buckets to gather the water. So what we have here, in fact, is a well on a hill.
Of which very few people are actually aware.
Z toho celého objektu, z toho dominikánského kláštera se zachoval opravdu tady jenom tento sklep asi tak zhruba.
For the whole monastery complex, only this cellar survives, about 50 to 80 square meters in size. The other underground spaces are not accessible to the public, and they're used for storage purposes of the St. Michael's Parish Church.
A to když prší, a nebo když je představte si sucho, tak bylo tak tam, jak je tam ten černé ten.
When it rains, or on the contrary, when the weather is dry, the water level almost instantly changes. It goes up and down some 20 centimeters. You can see it on the blackened water line over there. And here, through this narrow crevice, the rainwater flows to the underground basin.
In other words, there is a lot more in Olomouc than meets the eye of an average tourist. In one of the many new cafes, I meet Majka Ošťádalová, successful businesswoman, senior consultant in public relations. She divides her time between Prague and her native Olomouc.
I thought that I wouldn't be living here, that I would stay in Prague, but there is some kind of connection which brings me here at least once a month. So I'm like a half Olomouc citizen, I would say now.
When it comes to places to see and do in Olomouc, Majka Ošťádalová has more than one recommendation.
There are so many places to see in Olomouc, parks, fountains. It's really a big variety of sites. But for me, a place which is a must, I think, is the Přemysl Palace. It's a place which is very closely connected with our history. Because in 1306, our king Wenceslav III was killed there, and it was basically the end of the Přemysl dynasty. And on the top of that, it's lovely architecture place because it's a Romanesque building, so it's very special.
If Brno, in the south of Moravia, has its Villa Tugendhat and other modernist masterpieces, smaller Olomouc in the center of the region boasts the exquisite Art Nouveau Villa Primavesi.
It was built by a rich Olomouc family called Primavesi. They came to Olomouc by the end of the 18th century and they became very rich bankers. And in, I think, 1905, Otto and Eugenia Primavesi decided to build a family house, a seat, a kind of seat of the family. And they chose a beautiful location right in the center of Olomouc, on the Olomouc town walls, the former fortification. So it's it's above the trees and you have a beautiful view of the trees in the park and the river. So the place itself is really very nice. And the interesting thing is that they were connected with artist, Art Nouveau artist in Vienna. So not only the villa itself is built in Art Nouveau, but also it was decorated by, for example, Gustav Klimt. So this is a very special place, and when someone take there, they usually appreciate seeing that.
So it's open for the public?
Yeah. It is open for the public. You can go there and have a look inside. There is also a small garden. There is a beautiful mosaic at the entrance. So it is possible to go and see it.
And then there is the geographic location of Olomouc. It makes it an ideal starting point for exploring the eastern part of the Czech Republic.
A nice trip, for example, is to the Jeseníky Mountains. If you prefer to see some natural walk around or skiing in winter, it's a great destination.
How far is it, roughly, by car?
It's about 1 hour. You can get there by car, you can get there by train very easily. It's very well accessible. And in my view, the Jeseníky Mountains are not that commercialized, like, for example, Krkonoše. They are very well preserved, so it's a nice place to go. Another trip you can take is to go and see Olomoucké tvarušky production, or the history of this special kind of cheese, which has been produced here in the villages, in the region, for I think a couple of centuries.
Quite smelly. Yeah.
Well, interestingly, it's not as smelly as it used to be, but it's also actually very healthy because very low percentage of fat, a lot of calcium, for example. So it's this very special kind of cheese, which is also protected by the European Union, by the way. And Although it's called Olomoucké tvarušky, it is produced in Loštice, a place which is about 40 kilometers from Olomouc. And there is a new modern museum of tvarušky, which I believe is worth seeing because you see the history, you can even try to produce your own tvarušek, or if you are not that much successful, you can buy some stuff in their shop and also learn about some recipes and this kind of stuff. And if you go to Loštice, you can also get a little piece of history because there is Loštice synagogue, which is definitely worth seeing as well.
But it's not just the sites and rich history that make Olomouc special. Like Brno, it has recently undergone a perceptible change for the better, says Majka Ošťádalová.
I think some 6-8 years ago I have noticed some kind of like signals of shifting the energy of the town, meaning that all of a sudden you would find here more cafes, interesting, more restaurants, even hipster cafes. So this kind of energy, which of course reflects also in some cultural events and life, and in people going more to the streets and going to places or events such as vintage markets and farms markets and now, for example, the Christmas markets, meaning that I think that people simply began more enjoying life here. And that's something which I like, and I'm happy for Olomouc that this kind of energy has come here.
And similar to Brno, it was centuries-old tradition of higher education that seems to have played a key role. Olomouc Palacký University was founded in the 16th century. It recently launched an information campaign including video spots featuring music that you can hear in the background. It can boldly claim that since the fall of communism, it grew into first-class Czech educational center, second only to Prague Charles University in international ratings.
I think that the shift of the energy is really connected with the university because you have 25,000 people living here, studying here at 8 different faculties. So it's really a lot of energy of young people coming here. And also, in my view, the university has invested a lot of money into students. Not only the infrastructure, like living, but also their everyday life, and they are offering them various events now, and the students are also active themselves. So now the university is perceived as a really big player in social life and in general life in Olomouc, and I also hear it from my friends and other people that university seems to be the driving force now in Olomouc.
Do you think the local people realize it? I mean that the local businesses are taking maybe even advantage of it?
I think that local people enjoy and have realized that there is more happening in the streets and they like going out, which I think was not really the case like in the 90s. Olomouc was more a little bit of a dead city, to be honest, in my view. So this is something which the local people have realized and enjoy, as I feel it. I'm not so sure about the local businesses. I know that recently there has been a kind of research study on creative industries, for example. And we know that there is a potential here, but it still needs to be really released.
We started this short visit to Olomouc at the town hall. The astronomical clock was, in a way, a symbolic attempt to marry its centuries-old tradition with a new outlook, the communist utopian vision of the future, where everyone will be happy and equal. These days, the city and its people are not so ambitious. Yet it seems that they succeed in attracting young and talented people to this ancient place, and so really form and shape the future.
That report from the lovely city of Olomouc was produced and presented by Vít Pohanka. Now, Karel Zeman is one of the most inventive Czech film directors of all time, famous for wonderful movies combining live-action footage and animation. Prague boasts a Karel Zeman Museum, and Jan Wellinger has been finding out all about its special festive program and more.
With the Christmas season underway, many of Prague's museums and galleries are offering special events and programs. Among them, a museum dedicated to the works of the great 20th century animator and film director Karel Zeman, behind films like Journey to the Beginning of Time and Baron Munchausen. The Karel Zeman Museum has plenty planned for each Advent weekend, including a steampunk robot photographer ready to snap visitors' pictures. I spoke to co-founder Ondřej Beránek about the museum, about this year's Christmas program, and about Karel Zeman's legacy, why tourists shouldn't pass up the chance to visit.
You know, Karel Zeman was hugely popular in last century, and it was part of our childhood. But then in the 90s, it disappeared somehow from TVs and definitely from cinemas. And then we met Karel Zeman's daughter Ludmila, and we wanted to release his films on DVDs because they weren't released in the time in the Czech Republic. And she told us about the exhibition that was in Japan about Karel Zeman. And we were quite surprised that he's so popular in other countries and we don't have any presentation of his work here in Czech Republic. So that was the first idea, like to found the museum, and we wanted to present his art and his work to nowadays children and to show that we had a great artist that was known all around the world.
Part of the museum's purpose was to see the launch of digitally restored versions of Mr. Zeman's films?
It came with that, because when we opened the museum and it was very successful and we saw that people are interested in his work, in his films. We wanted to bring the films back to cinema, so that's why we started to restore the films. And it's great to see that we did already two films, and they went all around the world to the festivals, and now they are distributed in UK, in Japan, in France, and it will be distributed in the United States soon as well.
And the films we're talking about specifically, correct me if I'm wrong, it's Journey to the Beginning of Time and Baron Munchausen, as he would be known in English.
Baron Munchausen and the Invention for Destruction, or The Fabulous World of Jules Verne, how it's known in the United States. And The Journey to the Beginning of Time is the last film, and we are working on that right now.
So that one hasn't been fully digitally restored yet.
Yeah.
This is a hard question, but I mean, I suppose it's hard to pick a favorite. I mean, when I first moved to the Czech Republic, Journey to the Beginning of Time was one that I still saw on Czech television, and it was quite amazing because of the obvious influences that the film had. I read later that it influenced Mr. Spielberg himself with Jurassic Park.
Yes, that's right. Inspired probably Spielberg, because it said that he asked for the film on VHS cassette when he was here before Jurassic Park. And as well, when Tim Burton came to Prague to present his exhibition, I think 3 years ago, he talked about his inspiration by this film, because it was in the 60s in United States in TV. It was divided into six parts and it was shown as a series. There, and he said that together with Ray Harryhausen films, this and Baron Munchausen by Karel Zeman, they were the greatest inspirations he had when he was a kid, and he decided to become a filmmaker because of that.
Journey to the Beginning of Time and the other films that you mentioned show the ingenuity with which Mr. Zeman approached his subject matter. Journey to the Beginning of Time is a story told through time backwards, basically to prehistory and then to the time of the dinosaurs, all the way back to the first seas. And many of the tricks or the methods which he developed, of course, are highlighted in the museum. Tell me how much of a fascination it is for children, as well as parents who visit, to learn how some of those worked.
We are very happy to see the children, especially the children with their parents or the schools when they come here. They really enjoy that, and it's great to see that, because the work and the tricks are presented in a way how they were like made, so in kind of analogical way without using computers and all the digital techniques. But it's great to see children using their iPhones and mobile phones and tablets to do the photos and to do the tricks, actually. So it's, I think it works very well even now in digital era, and people enjoy that they can step into the film scenes and they can try the tricks by themselves.
If I remember correctly, having visited the museum multiple times on my own and with my children, there is a breakdown of how a one shot with a woolly mammoth was done, in which you have, I guess, a matte background and the mammoth himself in the foreground, and then the film of these children traveling back through time on a raft or on a canoe. At least in some of the kids or some of the visitors, that probably lights a spark for some of them saying, oh, that's how it's done. Maybe that's something I could do one day.
Yeah, I believe so. And that's why we started to do workshops for animation and for film tricks here in the museum. And they are very popular among children and among adults as well, because now we have workshops for adults as well. And sometimes it starts with the visit, that people come to us and they say, we just visited the museum and our son or daughter, they are so interested in it, they'd like to do something like that. So they start to come for the workshop. So that's great for us.
Incidentally, obviously you have great subject matter, great material, a very visual approach to all of it. But how difficult was it to sort of make your mark in Prague? Because this is obviously a city of many attractions, many different museums. There's museums opening up, not every day, of course, but now there's a new museum for the senses and all kinds of different things. So I'm wondering, how hard was it to compete and to find your place on the market?
It helps a lot to us that we had great work and art of Karel Zeman, which is still popular in Czech Republic among Czechs. So for the beginning, that really helps that we had this start with Czech audience. But from the very beginning, we meant the museum as a presentation for everybody, and especially for foreigners coming to Prague as well, because we wanted to present the Czech artists to them. And it was quite difficult in the beginning because you have many attractions, especially here in the center of Prague. But we are quite satisfied now that a lot of tourists and foreigners come here, and especially it helps a lot that we have very good reviews on TripAdvisor. We are in top 10 among Prague museums, and I think that people really enjoy the visit, and because the museum, it's a bit different from other museums in a way that you can really touch everything, you can try everything, you can do photos, videos, and you can enjoy it. So I believe that people, especially foreigners, if they don't know Karel Zeman, but they come here, they find out that it's something special, and that helps a lot to attract them more and more.
Now, I suppose the physical location of the museum, very close to the Charles Bridge, also plays an important role. That's obvious to me. But also, I was wondering how you reinforce the message for foreign audiences through social networks. I suppose that's also changed the game a little bit.
Yes, we use social networks a lot, and we have Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all the things. But what works perfectly is that when people come and they do the photos and videos by themselves, then they share it on the social networks, and it's the best thing for us that can happen, that they invite their friends and other people to come because they just enjoy that. So that's something that really helps. And the location next to Charles Bridge is something that it's good for us as well, but on the other hand as well, it's a big competition among all these things around the main route through Prague. So we have to try to do the things in the yard of the museum and in the street as well to attract people. But it's fun, so we like it.
We are, of course, already in the Christmas season. How important is the season for the museum, and what have you got planned for this year? Because I was looking at a photograph of kind of a steampunk robot. So tell me about that.
The Christmas season is definitely the most important season for the museum. We have two seasons. The one is summer, and then the Christmas. And each weekend before Christmas, each Advent weekend, we have special events. We have special workshops. People can make their own Christmas decorations with Carol Zeman motifs. We have steampunk robots, special invention of two photographers. The robot that can make photos by himself, and he can print the photos so people can take it home. We have light screenings, light projections of some motifs from Carol Zeman films on the wall of the museum. We have puppet theater plays connected with Carol Zeman films and other things connected with Christmas. So it's a program each Advent that people can come and enjoy.
So in short, you're always looking towards the next thing by the sound of it.
Yeah, exactly. It's the museum itself, the exhibition here in... It's one thing, but what we trying to do now is to get outdoor and to do more film scenes and more tricks in some open air places. Like for now, we have a film trick in Prague Zoo, and we plan to do some more film tricks in Prokopské údolí. So that's something that we want to continue in presenting Karel Zeman in other ways as well.
Andre Baranek from the Karel Zeman Museum, who was speaking there to Jan Wellinger. If you have any comments about today's program here on Radio Prague, do please get in touch. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz, and you also find us, of course, on Facebook and on Twitter. But that's all for now, folks. From me, Ian Willoughby, and all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for listening, and enjoy the rest of your weekend.